Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 18th December 2022, Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the 84th lessons of the sixth Patriarch's Platform Sutta. We are at page 7. Okay, as usual, we will compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bensi si jia moni fo. Namo bensi si jia moni fo. Namo bensi si jia moni fo. Namo guansin pusa. Namo guansin pusa. Namo guansin pusa. Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusyen Pusa, Namo Pusyen Pusa, Namo Pusyen Pusa, Namo Dizangwang Pusa, Namo Dizangwang Pusa, Namo Dizangwang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo. Dhammang namasami. Subhatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pamadatana veramani sikka padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's be respect Tripaja. Padang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some more attention. Then before we start, we will do the invocation to the devas. Then the basics of the chanting book. Right? Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalisu Atraha Gachantu Devata Saddhamma Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuto vijacarana sampano sugato lokavido anotaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Uyupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Lesson 84 of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta Chapter 10, the final instruction. We are towards the end of the topic. Turn to page 7, last paragraph. Okay, we have pinned it for you on the Zoom too. You can follow the Zoom. So I'll continue from there. Actually, early on when we were sharing, we already knew that that day was very special. A lot of extraordinary phenomena happened within nature. So it was described. For those who miss it, you can read through it. And I also mentioned in the paragraph before. That's why today's topic is very unique. And I actually don't know what is today's topic because I never prepare for my classes, that particular one. I seldom go and read whatever topic is next until there is condition like before we start the class. If I have the time, I may look at it. But today I was busy replying one of my classmates' WhatsApp group. So because of that, I didn't really look at the content of that sharing. So what happened was, it was the Friday before that Sunday sharing, 31st of August 2018, which was 4 years ago. We actually had our school 58th anniversary gathering since primary school one until from 6th secondary school. That time I was only 6 years old. So it has been 58 years since then. So 58 plus 6, that time I was 64 years old. So now you add 4 more. 68 plus, coming to 69. Oh, actually coming to 69, correct. There were a lot of my classmates since then, that one until Form 6. They were together with us at this special gathering. Some came after Form 1, some came after Form 3 too. Some joined us since Form 4, and some joined us in Form 6. So we had that gathering. Then I saw so many of them expressing their joy and their happy moments. Well, I also make use of the 10 minutes before the class to send out some good messages to thank the organizing committee and all my teachers for attending. Teachers and classmates for attending. It brings forth great memories and reminiscence of what we did while we were young during our school and childhood days. So this part of our life, that phase, is very interesting. You can recollect or have occasion to actually encounter those classmates who were with you since that time. Then we make use of that opportunity to even visit our primary school with some of my classmates to see what has changed. Because that day we went early. So before the gathering started, we were there. It was so different now. When we were in the primary school, we were all very small sized. So at that time, we think the field is very big. We think the school is very big. We think the canteen is very big. Everything appeared big to us then. And the teachers too, they are like so tall. And when we went back, we were amazed. Some of my classmates asked, did we really squeeze 40 of us into this very small primary school classroom? Even in Form 5, we are, our primary school and secondary school, they were next to each other. We have 10 classes at that time, very big. A, B, C, until K, from 5K. Of course, including science and arts. So I remember we have about 4 science classes, then 6 arts classes. So because of that, I have not read what is today's topic before the class. Then just now when I read the paragraph, I straight away knew as to why the thunder and the rain were so loud and heavy. It's because we are coming towards the end of our sharing of this 6 Vajrayana Platform Sutta, which is so very important and unique. His final instruction to his close disciple. That's why they all rejoice. I believe they expected this teaching to be shared. So I will now read it to you again. So the sutta starts with this. If in this life you encounter the thought or the sudden teaching, you will be suddenly, before I can even continue those words, the lightning, the thunder was so loud, louder and louder, because inaudible. Suddenly what I asked, you will be suddenly, again, the louder, the thunder in the fear. Are you all reading the text or not? Please speak out. You will be suddenly, yes, somebody read it, then suddenly enlightened to your self nature. So this is why this particular lesson, the sharing, was so unique. Because Hui Ning taught the sudden teaching. They call it the sudden teaching. Before that, Shen Xiu, who is from Tinan, they all mostly taught the gradual teaching. So I've explained what is sudden and what is gradual. And because of that, Hui Ning actually briefed the disciples, the followers. He said, do you all want this sutta? Oh, sorry, I mentioned it. Do you all want this sutta? Because suddenly you can become enlightened to your own self nature. So cultivation of the Dhamma is such. The Dhamma can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, and is to be awakened to. That's why all enlightenment is sudden. There is no such thing as gradual. But it depends on how you actually understand it. Even those who believe in the gradual teachings or the gradual school, means you cultivate, then suddenly, one day when you are ready, when everything falls into place, you will awaken. So they call that the gradual teaching. But you must understand, at the moment you awaken, it's always sudden. It's beyond thought, beyond mind. It has nothing to do with the mind. It is the sudden awakening to the true nature within, or some call it the self nature within. And that nature is your true mind, your silent mind. So for that, a lot of people cannot understand. Sometimes it's just a glimpse of cessation, a glimpse of what that true mind is. Suddenly, then you will awaken. So this is what the sudden teaching is. So what Hui Ning did was, because of his great understanding and his perfection from the past, when the time was ready for him to come out to teach and to share, he teach it differently, so different from the traditional way or popularly accepted way, like the Northern teachings, which he actually went to under the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren. So the fifth patriarch actually were teaching the graduate school. Well, at that time, cultivator of the way, their roots are not so deep. Not many can understand the sudden teaching. But Hui Ning is unique. He is different because he knew the cultivation very clearly from his past. He inherited everything. Then he was born without the mundane mind, and when he awakened after meeting the fifth patriarch, because before he met the fifth patriarch, actually he already know what that true mind is, but he only need a few pointers on the Diamond Sutra to make him thoroughly awaken. It's just like that day, who was it earlier? There was one Kayamita, who actually wrote to me, I cannot remember who was it. Actually, at that time, that Indian lady, Anita Singh, she actually, after reading or listening to all my video, everything, he suddenly can relate to all the things that I explained, and he can relate to his childhood experience and what he has gone through, because he has glimpses of that true mind, the silent mind, but he doesn't know what that thing is. So Dhamma is like that. Sometimes people experience it because in the past they must have done it, then it comes, glimpses. But you need an enlightened being or somebody who has awakened to actually point out to you so that you can understand. So for Huining's case, it's also the same. When he waited for that moment, when he wrote the second poem, the poem to counter Sensu's poem, then the fifth Pavia went to him and gave him a signal, a sign to meet him at that middle of the night, sunken. So he went, and when he met the fifth Pavia, the fifth Pavia said, "Okay, you listen," he said. "I will now pass to you the mind-to-mind seal of the ultimate teachings," means the sudden teaching. So he expounded the whole of the Diamond Sutta, but he summarized it for him because he knew Huining can understand. Then when he come to that part, he said, "This mind," which Huining knew was the mundane mind, "you must know how to use it and yet not deluded by it." Huining came to great awakening through understanding, very deep, profound awakening. Then after that, he exclaimed, "How amazing that nature within was already perfect. All Dhamma arise from." So he straight away can link and connect. Well, at first, he does not understand what that mundane mind is. Well, he was born without the mundane mind. That's why he don't have the luxury of going through the process. Then when it was explained to him, he knew. He straight away developed the profound understanding of what the form and mind is, what that true nature is, and what that so-called mundane mind or supra-mundane mind that come into existence one is. So all this, when it's explained to him, he straight away can understand, or he will awaken one. So the sudden teaching is like that. That's why Huining taught the three hallmark of this sudden teaching. He said, "The first thing you have to realize is wu nian, no thought." What is no thought? No thought means no mundane mind, no thinking, no sankara activity. It's just the pure nature within. When you can be in the state of sati without thought, then you can realize your true mind. You can awaken to your self nature or your true nature within. That's why that is itself the sudden enlightenment. Even the first hallmark, a glimpse of it, is very powerful. So all of meditation, when people don't understand, they don't know the significance of this. They don't know how to approach it. That's the reason why nowadays you look around, all the teaching centered on one, because it has become so different from the authentic true teaching. The emphasis now is more on methods of meditation, techniques of meditation, and object of meditation. Then later on, some they cling to the teacher that come out with that method and that telling. Then they cling on to all the words like vipassana meditation, samatha meditation, jhanas, jnanas, without knowing what it is. Like the email from Anita Singh. She cannot differentiate between what is sati, what is awareness, what is mindfulness, and what is samadhi, and what is jhana, and all the related essential dhamma, like the five aggregates of form and mind, obviously. So when you don't have clear understanding, when you don't have somebody who can understand, to share with you, to explain to you, there is no way you can realize this teaching, this true dhamma. That's why this very unique teaching by Huining, the sudden teaching, or the sudden enlightenment teaching, is very beautiful. And people really look forward to it. And it's a great blessing if you can be born in the sasana to receive such teaching. These are the sudden ultimate teachings, like what we have gone through in the Lotus Sutta, where the Buddha, when he was about to speak this ultimate sudden teaching, how many walk out? 5,000. Even that time, his own disciple who had the karmic obstruction and don't have the proper route to receive such teaching, they just walk out. And the Buddha didn't prevent them because that is nature. So this sudden teaching, we will be going into it. And hopefully with this repeated revision, now more and more Kayanamitta can gain deeper understanding of what this thing is. And when you cultivate, you can cultivate with such understanding, then you will progress very fast. So the first hallmark is to realize no thought, wu nian. To do that, that's why I share with you all. You have to develop the four support for the awareness-based meditation to develop into that first hallmark of no thought. Especially the first three support. Relax. When you relax, you don't think. You just relax. Then aware also you don't think. Then stabilize the awareness for as long as you can. And that is how you develop the causes and conditions, these three, first three of the four support, to realize the silent mind, to realize the true mind, which is without thought. And that is the first hallmark of winning. So you can have that, then you are mindful, aware, without thought. Then when you can stabilize that, you become ever mindful. Then you use this mind, which is ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. It becomes apana, heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why this sudden teaching is very unique. It is so beautiful, so profound. Then after that, when you have developed that, then you move on to the next hallmark. To develop the second hallmark of cleaning, and he called it Noma. Wu Xiang in Mandarin. First one is Wu Nian, no thought. Then Wu Xiang. Xiang is no mark. There are three things that Huining emphasized on. No mark of a self cultivating. Then no mark of others or living beings. Then the third one is no mark of life, no mark of existence, no mark of Dhamma, and everything that is within the conditional. This is the unconditioned Dhamma, the ultimate Dhamma. No mark means you have penetrated the Paticca Samuppada, the dwelling that everything is dependent originating, no permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So no mark means you have penetrated emptiness, true emptiness. So that aspect is what anatta is all about, non-self, empty nature of existence. That's why it's called no mark. Wu ni wo xiang, wu zhong sheng xiang. That all of the other essential dhamma also, they are not real. No such thing within the ultimate unconditioned dhamma. Then, of course, the last hallmark is more difficult to realize. Normal cultivator of the way, you have to wait till you have developed until very advanced stage of bodhisattva way cultivation for you to realize the third hallmark. The third hallmark of waiting is wu zhu, no dwelling. The mind must have no dwelling. To realize this, your mundane mind must collapse. Otherwise, your nature cannot shine forth and you cannot live in that third hallmark of winning. Where your mind, which is the supramundane true mind, because that one is with wisdom connected, ever shining, that nature, it cannot grasp, it cannot hold, it cannot cling. It cannot even stay or dwell. And it is a very unique nature. That's why these three hallmarks, they are very, very unique. Okay, now we go back to the sharing. Okay, so I asked, do you all want to thank the sutta for enabling you to have this ability to develop the sudden enlightenment to your own self nature or true nature within? If in this life you encounter this Dhamma door, the sudden teaching, which you all have already encountered, what will happen to you? You will suddenly be enlightened to your self nature or true nature. So this is your blessings. These are the conditions. And this is the teaching that can make it happen. That's why you all have the parami. You all have the condition. Like I told Sister PG while on the way here the other day, Sister PG was fetching me and my wife to Wu Bing Qing Se. I saw this window. That's why I always tell you all, it's very rare, this golden window of opportunity. Then as per the famous Mahayana Dhamma verse, you have the condition to be born a human being and the condition to encounter the true teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma. What are you waiting for? The famous verse you have heard before, the Mahayana always share this, 人生难得今已得, 佛法难闻今已闻. So this is very beautiful. Well, the Buddha said, it's very rare to be born as a human being, which I've explained before. It's even more rare to encounter the true Dhamma. When you are born in this sasana, you already fulfill these two unique conditions. Born as a human being, have the condition to encounter the true Dhamma, then what are you waiting for? It means you have the parami and you have your past cultivation. That's why I used to share with you all of you. You have your past. You may not know. And we are all unique in our own way. So have faith. Persevere. Develop this understanding. But this is the golden window, golden opportunity. Then with Huineng's teaching, Huineng make it even clearer. Now I go to the sutta again. He mentioned in the sutta, he said, if in this line you encounter the Dhamma or the sudden teaching, which you all have already encountered, you can be suddenly enlightened to your true nature or self nature. This is what he meant by the sudden teaching, the sudden enlightenment or awakening, where he takes you direct to your true mind to realize the first hallmark of healing, which is the stage of no thought. Then the silent mind without thought will awaken. You don't need to wait. All these gradual teaching practitioners, they don't understand. That's why they keep on doing the practice. Practice, practice, and practice. Doing all those thought-based meditation. But finally, they can still reach sudden enlightenment when they are able to realize their true mind, the silent mind. During those moments, the condition will arise for them to have the ability to inherit their past and to have the silent mind, to realize their true nature within or their true mind. That's why you will come to realize your self nature or your true nature. And this self nature is very different. It's very powerful. It can bring about enlightenment, awakening in the here and the now. That's why in the second paragraph it is stated, now we shall read on. You will be suddenly enlightened to your self nature. Then you will see the honored one of the world. You remember what the Buddha said? He who sees the Dhamma sees me. Not he who sees the physical form of the Buddha sees the Buddha. No, you can still see the Buddha. But he is the embodiment of the pure Dhamma, the perfect pure Dhamma. That's why you will be suddenly enlightened to your self nature or true nature, then see the honored, the world honored one, or the honored one of the world. Yeah, it's the same. So I ask, do you all understand? That's how you understand truth. Then you will understand life if you wish to continue and aspire to Buddhahood. Okay. Oh, sorry, to cultivate. Eh? Sorry, yeah, so he corrected me. If you wish to cultivate, sorry, yeah, not continue, cultivate, and aspire to Buddhahood, you will know where the truth is to be sorted. Unless you can see the truth within your own true mind, your own true nature. What is this mind? This is your true nature. Or some call it the self nature, your original nature, enlightenment. The self nature is one, then there is the other one. This is also your mundane mind. That's why he used a neutral word, because mind has two meanings. Understand? One is true mind, one is mundane mind. So when you can see the mundane and the supramundane within your mind, your nature, then this is true cultivation, the true Buddha Dhamma. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. That's why he said, this truth, which is the cause of realizing Buddhahood. So ability to differentiate between the two minds is very important. That's why Anita Singh, after he listened for 3 months to my sharing, he came to this understanding. The Buddhist fundamental understanding of that self-nature is very important. That allow him to understand the true mind and the mundane mind. With that, he able to connect everything that he has gone through and he has developed as cultivation. So this is how the cultivator of the way who have the understanding can explain what makes it very like difficult or tough to develop understanding is because hardly anybody has this ability to clearly understand and teach or share this point. Most people use mind intermingling without knowing that there are two minds behind that word mind. Yeah. That's why I sing in Mandarin or Mahayana. They always say, sing mind. Then the Buddha also say, use mano. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Where mind arises, all things arise. But this one is the essential Dhamma. This is the mundane mind. Whereas the true mind, the silent mind, which is that nature within, the Theravada seldom touch. They have the essential Dhamma of Anicchang, Dukkang, Anatta, the five aggregate everything. Yeah. Then they even have the word Sunyata and all those things. But they didn't really specifically teach the true mind and the mundane mind. So that's the reason why the cultivation become very difficult to penetrate. And they find it at times like contradictory. Yeah. And most people in the early days, I used to hear from them. And when they discuss the Dhamma with me, they say, Vatio. I find it very confusing. I say, why? Yeah, we all were taught, the Buddha taught, Anicchang Dukkang Anatta. He know you, he know me, non-self. But I read the sutta, the five daily contemplations, the Buddha say, in many circumstances, the mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chi, when mind arise, all things. Then in the fifth daily contemplation, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are. So they say, one teaching is anatta, non-self. The other side is we are born. Our mundane mind, our whatever. He said, a lot of this make it very confusing. Then there is this law of karma. You reap what you sow, do good. So he said, how can all this fit in when it seems appear very contradictory at that time to him? And I smiled and told him, you can understand when you are able to differentiate between the true mind and the mundane mind. What the Buddha referred to is the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. The first aspect as a physical human being or living being, that one is subject to karma. No contradiction. That one is impermanent. Attach and cling, one thing's your way, suffering arises. Here is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of it all. And because it's impermanent, it's dependent originating, that's why it's anatta, non-self, empty nature, no reality. So all this, no contradiction. Then you can understand. I say, when you realize the silent mind, the true mind, that nature within, that one is not a being, like I always share with you all. That one is a nature within. It cannot come out and live like another. You cannot say that is me, that true mind is me, that true nature. No, that one is just a nature, no word. No duality, nothing. No aggregate, nothing. Yes, that awareness nature. The moment it starts to perceive things or give rise to aggregate of mind, it trigger off and become the mundane mind. It's no longer your true mind. But the true mind, that nature, is connected to the form and mind. Without the form and mind, you cannot access it. That is the uniqueness. That's why this teaching becomes very difficult to comprehend. And without the karmically conditioned form and mind, You cannot locate the gateway to your true nature. You cannot access your true nature. So that one make it like very difficult to penetrate and comprehend. It like become very mysterious because of that. But for those who have realized it, who has gone through it, when they explain this to you, it becomes very clear. The teaching become very clear, and it can be very penetrating. That's why you look at Anita Singh and even others. They have not met me. They just happen to come across what I share in the video. And most people have been listening to it for quite a while. Then they can understand why. Because this teaching, like the Buddha said, is pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves, true one, through the silent mind, the true mind. When you realize that, you understand what I say. Well, all these teachings, they come from that nature. And that nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. You cannot say, this is me, this is I. No, no such thing. It's just a nature within. That's why sabbe dhamma anatta. That nature is anatta. Of course, it's unconditioned. It's not within the conditioned world. But that nature is very unique, very beautiful, very powerful. And from there, all things arise. All understanding can arise. All awakening, realization can arise. That's why it is very important that you develop the awareness-based meditation to connect to your true mind, your awareness nature within, your true nature within. Otherwise, you cannot understand. You cannot comprehend. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So make this understanding clear. Means this truth, which is the cause of realizing Buddhahood, has to be understood. If you don't meditate to realize the silent mind, to awaken to it, you are wasting your time. That's why Huining told the disciple, reminded them, if you go after thought-based meditation, you are wasting your time. You cannot penetrate. That's why he used the word, you must start with mind. Sing wei ken pen. Then from there, realize that you have two minds. Then to cultivate, to develop heedfulness, you must stay with the silent mind. That's why you must realize no thought. So when you understand all this, then you realize people who do the thought-based meditation, it cannot lead to enlightenment. That's why all those that people do without the understanding are all thought-based meditation that doesn't lead to awakening. So what is thought-based meditation? You have to go through again. Because for those who have gone through, you will know. Thought-based meditation means you use thought as an instrument to meditate. Means when you meditate, although they say they're silent, but they are not silent inside. Because the mundane mind is actively chattering, verbalizing. Or the meditator is the thought. So all the instruction that they receive, the method, the technique, the object of meditation, so they use the thought to do the noting, the verbalization, the whatever instruction. All these are thought-based. So like walking meditation, standing, then lifting, pushing. All these are verbalization. Then, of course, later on they say, you have to do away with the verbalization. Then what do you do? Without thought, they have not trained their mind to stabilize the awareness nature within. They cannot. Thought will always be there. because your mundane mind has been so conditioned, so heedlessly conditioned into that heedless thinking mode. You think a lot. Why? Because of memory. Thought is respond to memory. We hold on to a lot of things in the universe, within our life, within our existence, our career, our relationship with environment, with people, with our neighbors, our friends, and all things. And because of that, we accumulated all these memories because we think it's important. We believe in them. We hold on to them. And we want to remember them. And we want to use thought to solve our problem. Problems have two types. One is mechanical problem, straightforward problem. The other one is psychological problem. That one you cannot use thought. You use thought, you will be doomed. You will get into big trouble. Yeah. You will become worse. That's why a lot of people enter depression and all those things. So when you are actively using your brain, yeah, which is only useful for technological thing or mechanical learning or technological learning, not for psychological, emotional activity and learning. To develop wisdom, you cannot use thought. You must silence your mind to observe. Then only you can understand who are you, what you are you, and how do you function as a human. How your mind gets stirred and become emotional. How did fear arise? How did greed, selfishness, emotional negativity arise within the individual? It is through this observation that you come to know everything that arises is dependent, originating, not what you think. Because of wrong view, delusion, you end up becoming what you are. So this thought-based meditation is very dangerous. But if you were to recall your early day practice, everything that is taught to you is thought-based. Like I always share in the early days. How do they teach meditation? They use the thought, the mundane mind. Yeah? To go and read up the sutta. Read up all the teachings, the sharing. Then they come out with instruction to meditate, method to meditate, technique, object of meditation. All this involve what? Thought. When thought is active, how can you be aware? How can you be mindful? How can you realize the self nature within the silent mind? But at the retreat, you see the sign with the first finger, I think I call. Index finger against your mouth. And they call that noble silence. I say, no, that is keep quiet, don't talk. Means don't verbalize. But your inner chattering, the thought process is so active inside there. The one that chatter inside, mumbling inside, complaining inside, that one is so active. So how can it be noble silence? Noble silence means not only no verbalization, no chattering within, no sankara activity or movement within, completely silent, still. That is noble silence. So after this explanation, I hope by now it's clear. Eh? Okay, but don't get me wrong. Go back to the notes. I just explain one more thing. So don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean you don't use thought. No. To live life, you need to use thought. Your thought is an instrument for you to communicate, to express yourself, to live life, to be in the world of duality, to develop all the experience, and to go through life means to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. All this, we need thought. We need the mundane mind. We need the understanding of the supramundane, the unconditioned, and the conditioned Dhamma. So all these are important. But to meditate, to realize enlightenment, the turning, you cannot use thought. That's why the Buddha always used mindfulness, sati, the four foundation of mindfulness. Everything is sati, mindfulness space. Okay, so now I will read on a bit more. So make this understanding clear. If you don't meditate to realize your true mind, your silent mind, to awaken to it, then you are wasting your time. Well, all those that people do, they are thought-based meditation. It will not lead to enlightenment. It doesn't lead to enlightenment or awakening. The next few paragraphs will tell you why. See, this paragraph is very beautiful. Not to see your self nature or true nature. See, the key word is not to see, means to realize that true nature or self nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. You know what is seeking the Buddha outside or not? Means you send your mundane mind outward to your senses. You don't go within to silence to realize the true mind. Then I continue, I say, outside means what? You go and look for them through your mundane mind that go through your senses. You look outside, referring to the phenomenal world of consciousness. And then you will have a lot of views, opinions, ideology, teachings, rites and ritual, etc. You will be led astray and you will get lost. Then method and technique of meditation, you will cling on to them. You cling on to the theoretical Dhamma. Then you go all over to look for truth. But you do not understand that truth is within, like what I used to share with you all. Also, what happened, like Krishnamurti say, if the seeker is the sick, who is the seeker? The form and mind are the seeker. Do you understand? But the true gem is inside your nature, which is within your own form and mind, your self nature. So you are running all over to look for truth when the real truth is within. That's why the Mahayana, they always say and share this, seek within. It means you develop awareness from within to understand what is going on within the form of mind. Then finally, when you understand the external phenomenal world through your wisdom or awareness nature, they will lose to have power over you. They will not have power over you. Then what will happen? Then you will understand. Then your mind realizes itself and sees. Means the mundane mind realizes itself and sees. When it sees, it realizes our self nature, our own self nature or true nature within, which is the truth. And that is the enlightenment. That is what you are searching for. That's why the searcher is the search. You search within, you don't search outside. Outside is a phenomenal world of consciousness, and the mundane mind is not real. They are impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self, not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why the sutta say, okay, I will read this part, then I will stop. Not to see yourself nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. If you think that way, you are deluded indeed. I now leave behind the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching. So this is his last message of the sudden teaching. To liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. The word is themselves. He can only show you the way. Okay? So we stop at page 11. Okay, we mark that page. So remember the First, three out of four support. For those who already know how to meditate, the awareness-based meditation, then you can go to the fourth support too. It's up to you. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states we need to develop the daily mindfulness in daily life to stabilize your state so that you are ever mindful, constantly meditative, leading to heedfulness. So we will now revert to second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, you can ask regarding meditation, regarding the teaching, or how to apply this teaching so that we can live life, help us understand life, resolve whatever situation or problem in life, which is just the mind daily life. We can share them.
Amitabha. Thank you, Sister Pecheng, for nominating me. This time, nothing in particular to share. Yeah, it's the end of the year, so a lot of gatherings, a lot of plans are being made. I think just now something caught my attention for during the class. There was a part that says about no thought. Then my dad made a comment to say no thought doesn't mean don't use thought at all, but thought is actually very useful to live life, to communicate. So I found that very important because there was a time I was also confused. Don't think is better than but when we say don't think, actually all the subtle thinking still happens. How we form words, how do we want to share, all that is actually the basic thinking that we still do. But one of the things, maybe this part I shared, beginning when I was younger, when I did meditation, I was taught to breathe in, say Buddha, breathe out, say Do, Buddha, Buddha. And that actually when I, towards the more recent years, I noticed that one is, it became a very solidified thought when I meditate. It was very hard for me to not meditate or to not breathe without saying Buddha, you know, to a point. It became very absurd. So then I realized that is a thought. I'm not really feeling my breath already. I'm just saying the word in my mind. So the like the finger on the lips are silent. Yeah, I was silent, but inside my mind, I very chattering Buddha, 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 non-stop. So then I realized, how come I cannot don't say Buddha. Then that one took a while for me to decondition that habit. So that part was very interesting. Then until a while later, then I could decondition that habit. So then I realized how applying that thought onto the breath also become a hindrance for me. Yeah. So maybe something to watch out for. That's my sharing. Maybe Daddy, any comment?
Okay.
Yeah,
I think
all.
That is quite a good topic to discuss, because when it comes to the thought process, a lot of people don't understand. Because in order not to, to prevent cultivate all the way from being misled or confused, because some people take the word very seriously. They were going, quote me, April Teo say, don't use thought, no. Why you every time use thought? Then it's like the normal teachings of the Buddha. appear contradictory because you quote only one part out of context. I never say don't use thought. Thought is useful. That's why I have to explain it. But when you meditate, you cannot use thought. To use thought to meditate, it becomes thought-based. That's why you cannot use thought when you want to meditate. When you want to meditate is you want to develop the ability to understand what is going on. To understand what is going on means to realize the truth, to understand the reality within our form and mind and nature. To do that, you have to be completely silent within to observe. Otherwise, you cannot understand. Observation without the thought is the direct seeing. And it can lead to clear understanding, awakening. Whereas if you use thought to observe, you are not observing at all. Your thought, the moment is active, thought cannot observe. Thought is egoic. Thought is limited. So that thought has its own views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and delusion, wrong view, scarcity especially. So because of that, if you use thought to observe, then you tend to compare. You tend to verbalize. You tend to do a lot of other heedless thinking. You recall from memory. You react and resisting to your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. Then like Sui say, if you are not careful, when you continue to verbalize, then it becomes a habit. Habits are very difficult to undo. That's why she realized the Buddha thing is very common in the early days, especially in Thailand. They teach you Buddha, breathing in Buddha, breathing out Do, because that is like the Mahayana chanting, recalling the Buddha's name. Buddha, Buddha means Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Then when you keep on repeating it, it's like a chanting. It develops faith. It can develop concentration though. But you are not developing anapanasati. You are not really developing mindfulness. But sometimes you chant with clarity. Just like the Pali chanting, Iti peso bhagava arahang. That's why some people chant Samma arahang, Samma arahang. They want to invoke the faith of the arahant, the right arahant and all those things. That's why there is in the early day a very famous Thai tradition, type of meditation that use the word Samma Arahang, then look for the Buddha in the abdomen there, visualization. So all these are thought-based type of practices. But if you don't have the understanding, you will be deluded into believing that this is the way, this is the meditation. But then if you really understand the teaching or look clearly into the teaching, these are all thought-based verbalization. Although it can give some form of faith, then calmness, peacefulness. Like those who always use Buddha, Buddha, it's just like you use the mantra to calm you down. But when you know how to relax into it and allow that peace to develop naturally, then the verbalization actually go off. But because you have been so habitual, when you start, you always then that thing keep on coming. So to unlearn all this is not easy because thought-based has been taught very frequently. And most people start with verbalization. So verbalization is like a commonly accepted thing. And like I always explain, since birth until now, most living beings, in fact, almost all living beings, unless you are like waiting, are born without the mandama. You use thought. And thought is the only instrument in life that you are familiar with. And the thinking becomes so intense, it develops into heedless, habitual thinking. And I sometimes call it the thinking become very rampant, right? Continuous, unending. You think a lot. That's why my teacher, Chanantra, I remember, he always laugh and say, human being's problem is they think a lot. Oh, everything also must think. Don't think, cannot, he said. Then you were to check back yourself, you realize since young until now, before you know how to develop this awareness-based meditation, you tend to think a lot. Everything also you use the thought. You want to know something, you use the thought. You want to solve your problem, you go and think. Everything is related to the thinking mind. So the thought process has its purpose, has its intent. But thought, like the Buddha taught us, we have to use it with wisdom to arise the right thought. Before you are enlightened, when you use thought, most of the time it's deluded thought. Not the pure thought, not the wholesome thought. Most of the time I use, because even though you say you radiate metta, you radiate loving kindness, it's supposed to be a wholesome thought. But as long as you are not enlightened, the sakkayadity, self-delusion, is always there. So it's still not a pure thought. It may be wholesome to a certain extent, like no greediness, no greed, no hatred. But there is still delusion, sakkayadity, inside there. So that one is still a verbalized metta, a conditioned metta, with the inside there. So even when they say they want to do good, they want to radiate love, when they want to be compassionate, who wants to be? The sakkayadity, the egoic mind, is still very strong. So my advice is, before you are enlightened, try not to use thought so rampantly, so heedlessly, so often. Otherwise, it will create a lot of coming repercussion or coming negativity. So it's like the chicken and egg story. Before you understand what mindfulness is, awareness is, before you can develop the wisdom and the understanding, you have to start like normal people, thought-based. You have to live life like ordinary people. You use your brain, you use your memory, then you mix everything up. But your memory is for everything. Whatever I want to remember, accumulate, for good or for bad, even the negative one, the phobia, everything, insecurity, the what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lament, you also accumulate. And all this trigger off wrong thought. Because thought is respond to all this type of memory. So out of fear, the thought come out. That's why the fear will create fearful thought. The phobia will also create fearful thought. The insecurity, the lack of faith, the lack of understanding. That's why it's very difficult to have right thought before you develop the awakening or enlightenment. So I don't blame people for being confused, not able to like do without the thought. Initially, you need thought, like to study, to remember things, for all the mechanical things, for all the technical thing that you want to learn, like knowledge, you use thought, no problem. Like you want to study history, you want to remember the date, you have to use thought, geography, science, technical thing, all things. But when it comes to psychological problem or psychological issue, mental issue, you have to be very careful. Because if you are not mindful, not careful, the thought you use, if the user of thought is deluded, thought become wrong thought. So wrong thought trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, selfishness, desire, craving, emotional negativity. So all these are the consequence of wrong thought. Because you accumulate all this rubbish inside there. Your views, your conditioning, your belief system, your whatever fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, everything you accumulate. And all these are negative tendency with delusion. That's why your rites and ritual, your tradition, your conditioning from whatever you hear, you read about, or you think about, all this get accumulated in our memory. So our memory is like the computer, very useful. Yeah. But the computer has got no feeling, no emotion. That's why there is no psychological memory. That's why the computer works very well, because it's mechanical, logical, mechanical. You go by, they call it, the system analyst will know. You input, output, very obedient. Unless, of course, overheat or what, then that thing, something wrong with the memory chip or what, then you have problem. Otherwise, you will function very well because it's without emotion, without the psychological part. But can human being live like a machine? You can't. Because your memory has a lot of psychological memory. Psychological memory of your past, your relationship, your fear, your phobia, your whatever, belief system, everything you accumulate. That's why for those who understand, even Krishnamurti, he know, acting according to memory is not acting at all. A human being's problem is what? That is the only instrument you have. You have to act according to memory. You don't act according to memory, you don't know how to act. Where everything you refer to memory, to perceive something, to recall something, to remember something, to come up with idea, you need memory. You need all this type of stock memory. Yeah. So memory is a must. Then the question comes about, that's why I went through all this cultivation, I silenced my mind, I observed, then I saw the danger of acting according to memory. Acting according to memory, which is a lot of psychological rubbish, delusion, everything is inside there. So all of our selfishness, our fear, our phobia, negative tendency, our errors, they are all accumulated or deposited in the memory. So this one will create confusion in the individual. That's why sometimes it becomes heedless thinking. Thought is respond to memory. And that thought trigger of wrong thought that has the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the stress, pressure, and a lot of things that arise within society. Like they cannot take it anymore. So once the brain, the system cannot take it anymore, the mundane mind becomes confused. Understand not. That's why it developed into what they call depressive tendency. They enter depression. Then they have suicidal thought. They act irrationally. Their behavior become like affected. So these are the consequences of the human mind, the psychological aspect of mental disease, mental problem. That's why now there are a lot of these new courses. You can study psychology to become a psychologist or psychiatrist. And you can also now study a lot of field on related topics, speech therapy, and a lot of problem related to humanity. But as long as they are over focused with the thought, there is seldom a permanent solution, is a permanent fix. Most of it is temporary, and most of them use drug, use medication and all those things. But mental problem, if you have the Dhamma, if you have the understanding, you can help that person to free, because it involves the law of karma, the nature's law. But they have to do a few things. It's not just straightforward advice like that. No. Because when it comes to psychological, it involves the karmic process. You have to ask for forgiveness, repentance first. Then vow not to repeat all this. And to follow, of course, the advice of the Buddha to cultivate his teaching is to follow his advice to avoid all evil, to good, and purify the mind, which is cultivating noble evil power to train the mind. Then evoke power of merits to turn around. And if you do these three things, then you can solve, you can root it out. Then the person, if he has an understanding and a condition, he can recover. Otherwise, it's not easy. So, like I explained earlier on, and Sui also come to know, thought is useful for us to live life, to communicate, to experience life, to learn new things, to experience new things. But thought need the wise or appropriate user. The user of thought is very important. So if you were to look at it specifically to develop understanding, then you ask yourself, basically, what is thought? Respond to memory. Thought is actually neither wholesome or unwholesome. Initially, it's just a thought, understand? Your thought, before you input the content. Yeah. So this pure thought without the content means what? Without your mental delusion, mental intention. For those that are not enlightened, your mental intention is always with sacrality, with the evil roots. That's why the user of thought cannot produce right thought, pure thought, wholesome thought, very difficult. Whereas if you had developed the understanding, the awakening, the wisdom, then you have the understanding, which is the Dhamma, then you don't act according to memory anymore. You act according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way. So acting according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way, which is following Noble Eightfold Path, is the correct way of action. But to do that, you need the Dhamma. You need the enlightenment, the awakening. That's why the use of thought is very important. So just like money, the example I give is very good. Money, technically, that money printed is for a certain purpose. It's neither good or evil. But the use of money can make it good or evil. If you are a philanthropist, or you are a very generous person, a very kind person with a lot of understanding, then you will know how to use money for the good of the many. then money becomes wholesome, beautiful, useful. But if you are an evil person, selfish person, and you make use of money negatively, so maybe for certain type of ill purpose, like some people, they use money to pay assassin to kill or to cause disruption, riot, change of government, and all those things. Then money become evil. If you use money for evil things, then money become evil. So likewise, our thought is the same. The use of thought is very important. That's why you must contemplate deep into this, reflect on it, develop the understanding, then awaken to it. Then when you understand that thought basically is neither good or evil, it depends on the user, that is the beginning of wisdom. That is the beginning of understanding. So the person who use thought become very, very important. Like the Buddha say, you must develop right view, leading to right thought. Then right speech, right action, right livelihood, the four right effort, then right mindfulness and right samadhi. And this is basically the Noble Eightfold Path, the advice of the Buddha. So if you have developed all this understanding, then you know how to act. That's why whatever happened in life, you must have right view first to accept the reality. Whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind, just like the Buddha said, based on the three right view. Most of the time, it's law of karma. Then after that is the nature's law of paticca samuppada, means dependent origination. Yeah. And the law of karma will be able to help solve a lot of worldly problems, karmic-related problems, and most of them are karmic-related. So the first right view is good enough. But the second right view is what the mind is all about. How you function as a human being. Our mundane mind follow this paticca samuppada, the dwelling, dependent originating, the dwelling that explain how the mundane mind function, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, then vijnana paccaya nama rup. You know, if you are mindful, aware, you can see on it. It is through observation, through the silent observation and direct insight, awakening, that you understand how you become what you are, who you are, and why did you react, stir your mind and become evil. Then how did the wrong thought arise? How did the sakkayadity arise? How did the wrong view arise? Then how you straighten your view? How you reverse all this through the third and fourth way, the meditative awareness base. This is meditation, to develop the wisdom to understand so that you can retrospectively reverse all this wrong view, wrong way of living, the wrong way of arising thought, because we didn't apply Noble Eightfold Path. We didn't have the mindfulness and the silent mind to observe, to see and to understand through paticca samuppada. Then when we understand paticca samuppada, we understand the five aggregate of form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. Every aggregate is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal, phenomenal. That's why it's dependent, originating, dependent. Then he know you, he know me. And because it's dependent originating, it's condition arising, causal, that's why it's impermanent. Depending on condition, it arises. When condition sustain itself, it continues to exist. But when condition cease to be, it ceases to be. That's why everything is dependent on condition. So whatever that is condition arising, how can it be a permanent unchanging entity? Your condition keep on evolving in a state of flux, keep on happening, keep on moving, journey. Like my teacher said, it's only mighty nature rolling by. He know you, he know me. Nature's law. And when you contemplate deep into this, when you understand all this, then you understand the beauty of the Buddha Dharma. Then you understand why we must act according to Dharma with right view. Starting with the law of karma, then law of mind. Then finally, the meditative one, the law of truth, or the essential Dhamma. That's why you must understand the essential Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. Then only you can live life. Then only you can understand life. Then only you can act. Then you will understand clearly why Krishnamurti and me, I always say, acting according to memory is not acting at all. You have to act with wisdom. You have to act with the Dhamma understanding. So after you have these three right view, then you will know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the Buddha always teach right view leading to right thought. Without right view, there is no right thought. That's why you need the Dhamma understanding first. You need the three basic spiritual law, right view in regards to these three basic spiritual law that governs life and existence for you to understand life. And this is basically what the teaching is. And all this, if you go through the three right view, you would have end up understanding the Four Noble Truths too. We are under the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths is there. And within the Four Noble Truths, the last Fourth Noble Truth is the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why they are all interconnected. To enable living beings to live life, to understand life. So, thought is useful. But the user of thought must have the wisdom to use thought so that thought can follow Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought. If you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, you act according to memory, thought can never be right thought. Why? Your memory is full of rubbish, psychological rubbish. Negative tendency, the errors, everything there. So you act according to memory, you're acting according to your delusion, your selfishness, your phobia, your emotional negativity, your cunningness, and all those things. Yeah. Even your aggressiveness, everything is from memory, your conditioning, your belief system. So all this, when you start to understand through the meditative awareness, then you know your life. You have to develop the understanding to live life. So that you are no longer heedless, so that you don't go the wrong way. That's why you will strive on with heedfulness to develop the appropriate wisdom, the appropriate mindfulness, leading to heedfulness for you to develop all this Dhamma understanding so that you can live life, can act according to the Dhamma way, which is the wisdom way. So hopefully today, yeah, because of Sui's topic, the condition, you can understand this topic deeper. So contemplate into it. If thought is neither good or evil, then the user of thought is very important. So if the user of thought is deluded, thought become wrong thought. Do you want to be heedless? Go on, then strive on with heedfulness. Develop mindfulness. Develop sati. Develop clear awareness to develop all this understanding so that you can live life, you can act accordingly. This topic, I think, is beautiful, very important. Okay, so I have ended my part.
Good evening, Brother Teo and all yes. Kalamitas. Yes. Let me see. Many weeks ago, Brother Teo, I went to attend a retreat. The title, The title is no, not meditation retreat, brother. It's Zhonghua Sheng Xian Zi Shi. I think literally I translate as Chinese all wisdoms.
Oh, good. Okay. So it's a workshop or a seminar.
It's a stay-in retreat. They day in, day out, they let you watch the video because video, they actually is the live teacher is teaching in China. So they record it and they select and even they sometimes let us watch the movie also. Basically, but actually they are a combination of a few type of teaching that is by Buddhism, Wujia Sisiang, and Taoism.
Chinese civilization one.
Yes, the old wisdom. So basically, if these people are more on Mahayana is by Jing Kong Fasi. Passed away just
Recently.
He is on the Amitabha.
Pure Land teaching.
Yes, correct. Pure Land teaching. They also emphasize a lot of filial piety. And they tell you that nowadays we learning knowledge on academic wise. Whereas those days in China, those people who become guan, the government servant, they go through the exam where they are being tested on all this old wisdom that you got to be a good person rather than now we are teaching, academic.
Because they taught under the ancient civilization, the culture during that time is they got a lot of philosopher at that time. The Lao Tzu is supposed to be the Tao Jia. Then you had Confucius. Then later on his student Meng Zi, don't know what, a lot of other great philosopher, Zhuang Zi. So all these people, they come out with the Lu Jia. I heard of this Lu Jia. Theirs is like you say, based on very good ethics. Like for a good society, you must have the emperor, then the respect for the emperor, then you have the hierarchy and all those things. Then it's all about right principles in life. You cannot simply do things. So Robert Kwok, the mother, also taught him this. I read his biography before. So all these teachings, they are evolved from all these great thinkers. Then, of course, the latest one is the Buddhist, the Tao Jia. So all this, they has its original intent, which is very noble. But, you know, human beings, before they are enlightened, the greed set in, the delusion set in. So the evil root set in. And because of that, you have a society that was in complete chaos. So everywhere there were war, fighting, and everything is about power and all those things, aggressiveness, then the ability to conquer and all those things, then to strategize. So we have our history, our tradition. Then China reached a low point where we go through a lot of humiliation, the Opium War. Then after the last emperor, a lot of things happened. Then we had the Nanking War, a lot. The Second World War, a lot of humiliation. So that time, China as a country was very weak, very backward in that sense, as a civilization, because the people were very poor. They lacked proper education. They lacked proper industrialization understanding, and for a period they locked themselves up. They call it the Iron Curtain Rule. That's why they had the Cultural Revolution that destroyed a lot of the culture and all those things. So a lot of these 5-6 thousand years of very beautiful culture and history, they were actually in a state of chaos when they go through that period, that phase of weakness. But the last half a century was very different. They decided to start from scratch and build everything up. And then you start to see how they apply the principles of good governance and all the good system of government. Then the one in charge, they start to put emphasis on education, science, technology, and many other things. That's why you see the rapid transformation and growth in the recent 40 to 50 years. And all this is possible because living beings, or as a country, they have a good government who emphasize on that. Then they also talk about governance and all those things. That's why you see the new approach brings about very, very drastic transformation to the economy of the country and the people. And now we have a new China, which is very different. So what you are sharing is also related to most of this, except that they use the understanding of all this culture to make into video for you all. Oh, they call it a retreat, not bad.
Brother, I don't know what they call, because I myself call it a retreat, because they stay in.
You have to pay for it, isn't it?
No, Brother Teo, they refuse to receive your donation also.
Wow, sponsor.
In China, I think this is a tradition also they carry out from China, where there are some entrepreneurs who benefited or see the advantage. The nice thing about this retreat, they take out money and they run the whole thing.
So this one is run by which organization?
In Malaysia, this one I attend is in is near to Port Klang. Is by a man that he's a developer. So in his light industrial area, he took out a lot. Part of it, he used it as his office. And the rest, he provides a double-decker place for us to sleep. And you can see...
They call that place what? The way place? They call it what?
I can't remember. I think there's something like Zhonghua, Shenxian, something like this.
They call it like an association like that, I think.
It's actually a man. He provide everything, sort of. He's backed up by others' friends who they don't accept donation at all.
Oh, very good. So all the meals were free.
All the meals are free. And they even got servers doing voluntary work. And the t-shirts, the t-shirt is also provided. Then the server will wash and iron for us. Then you wear their t-shirts.
Including laundry service.
Yes, the volunteer and the food also FOC. Their lunch, I brought you, they taken the lunch from a nearby place. It's like... Fakusan or this type of
they cater from them.
I don't know whether they pay for Fakusan or not, but I know lunch is there. Then dinner they cook. There will be a server who do the cooking for us. Brother, day in day out is actually very intensive. Also, day in day out, you sit there and watch video.
Then anybody guide you or commentator or what?
Not really. During the lunch hour, there will be the leader, the man who provide all these facilities. I think he's quite senior. He will sit there wherever you want to go and see him, or in a group, or he's just chit-chat. I found that he's very knowledgeable. But the beautiful thing when they take the video from China is, I consider China, their lecture are more... you know, recording, so you won't add anything by the local people, so there's no confusion or anything.
Yeah.
And I think many people are, part of the people attracted to this are because some of people, they believe one of the branch of the teaching is if you have some illness that not curable, there's a branch of teaching by a China man who was born in 19, I think he passed away in 1930 or 1940 at the age of 17 something. His name is Wang Fengyi. This guy, he is a farmer from those days in late 80s he himself is, he got this, in his stomach, he got a very big, what do you call that? A pimples, a very big pimples.
Oh, okay.
Initially, he can do his farming work until eventually from 20-something, he got this. Come to 30-something, it doesn't cure, you know, it doesn't heal. So up to 30-something, he cannot go to the farm to work. Before that, he wrapped his abdomen and still working until finally he's bedridden. So this guy, he got a chance to expose to this teaching where, the source of the, according to their teaching, the source of your illness is because you got like you look at certain thing, you dislike people behavior, then you keep the hatred in you. Finally, you got some illness. So for him, when he started to learn this in China way back in the late 19th century, he come back and he realized his mistake, and within 10 days, his big pimples healed, you know.
Oh, sadhu.
So from his, he dedicated his whole life. I think the reason for him is he see his family, his parents, don't want to yang tada gong gong. Parent, and he got a lot of uncle, right? Nobody want to yang tada akong, you know. So he take up, he as a grandchildren, also they got a lot of grandchildren those days, right, China? So he take up the task to provide for the grandfather.
Yeah, the responsibility.
When his parent passed away, he sleep beside the graveyard for 3 years, you know. This is the filial piety. So 10 days later, he healed. That's why he spent his whole life preaching this. And I think in it, he also come to realize the best thing, the thing to change your whole society is educating the ladies and the women. So in late 19th century, he started to establish a lot of school for ladies. So he said that a young lady, you educate them well, they become a good mother, a good wife, they influence the whole society. That's his initial understanding. But relative, of course, they don't, for this, as I say, they got Buddhism, Taoism, and Lujia Sisiang. So, but for them, they are slightly different from Buddhism. I can see they are not talking about, but they have this type of, the significant things that I observe, they're talking about kanti, you know. When people scold you, when actually it's a good chance for you to erase your karma or for you to cultivate, you believe this. When people make you to really taro you, or when people bully you, or even you are doing the right thing, but people still ill-treat you, they see this as you must bow to them, like you lower yourself. This is also one aspect that I can see is correlate to Kanti.
It's patient endurance with humility and understanding. You do not stir your mind anymore. You do not react anymore. But there must be some teaching behind for this acceptance. Otherwise, it cannot arise. Otherwise, it becomes suppression.
They look at our own self is very small compared to others, like we are nobody to everyone. So I think just now I mentioned the man who has a big pimples on his abdomen. He's looking at our character from like feng shui, not really feng shui, but he look at the fire, wind, all this, you know, fire element also. But their element is not feng shui kind of element. They also talking about, I didn't, just a few days, I didn't go in detail. And I know, brother, I think it's because of Jing Kong Fa Si, so they also emphasize on repentance. repentance. So the last few hours of on the last day, they asked everybody to went up to the stage, and I think maybe some of them is, I don't know, maybe less exposure or what, they don't do much. But for me, first thing, I, as I told Brother Teo, I find that my repentance just not doing to the not doing to from the bottom of my heart. So I grabbed the chance to do it there. They also discover some people who do it right or do it, or some who have a illness. They will vomit there, either they vomit or they burping, you know, wind come out from the body. They prepare a small bucket with plastic bag there for people to use. So Brother Teo, when come to my turn, I ask for repentance. First thing, a lot of people ask for repentance for whatever their wrong act in the past. And realize,
very useful, yeah.
Yeah, whether to their parents or to their, mostly up to their loved one. So for me, the first thing I say, I want to do repentance to the Triple Gem. So Brother Teo, I do on a very brief one, very general. So when halfway my sentence come up, halfway, the guy who organized all this and provide the place, he give me a A4 laminated A4 sheet of paper. Then he asked me to read from there. Later, I find out actually this one is from Jing Kong Fasi, drafted by Jing Kong Fasi.
Yeah, standardized repentance,
They will say, me, Chupolian, whatever, from being nobody now and in the past doing so. I got, I think, 5 paragraphs. So, as usual, I read and I cry. So, when doing halfway, I read aloud, lah, Brother Teo. Read aloud.
From your heart,
The beginning few paragraphs, the second paragraph, they really say that the misbehavior that I have done, including inside, Brother Teo, they got also like, you say something, okay, your behavior, your thought and everything, lah, wrongdoing, including You steal the barang from the Triple Gem. You know? They have this, you know, Brother Teo.
Yeah, that is going to specific. Because ours is whomsoever from the distant past, whether knowingly or unknowingly, whether we have committed any negativity. That one cover everything. Negativity, everything. No need to go into specific. But the person who used this word must understand means negativity is including stealing, deceiving, cheating, misappropriating, even adultery and all those things. Negativity or hurt or misled. We even include misled. This one Ingbi will know. She go through that thing, then we added all these things in. So that is a comprehensive one. So what they ask you to read one, of course, they are more specific. We are involved 5 paragraphs. So they are trying to go into specific. But the generalized understanding will cover everything. So it's in a way similar because it's very comprehensive.
Last they will say I repent and this life and I got chance to come into contact with Triple Gem through teaching, you know. They wrap it up by this. So what happened to me was until today also I don't know the reason. While I was reading until the middle, because the Mandarin standard very high, Jing Kong Fast. When I read on the spot also I don't really understand what I read. But I still follow and read. I realized when I read to the midway, I realized also, but still the energy of me that time is I read with, I know I have anger, no, Brother Teo. Of course, I realized, but I continue only towards the 4th paragraph or something, I softened down. I also realized I softened down. So after that, later, or even I came home, then I asked myself, why when brain dependent, I have hatred and anger? Why is this like this? By right, repentant, we should not have anger, ma, because you already,
you should have humility.
I also don't know why. And you know, later part, got classmate commented after a few days, they mentioned this, I agree. They say, Pauline, you know or not? 你几凶,你知道吗? 吓到我! Yeah, I agree. Very, very angry and very fearful. I also don't know why repentant until so angry.
Because it's from your this coming obstruction, which is very strong. So that one not easy to break. Not easy to break. That's why you have to do it with sincerity, understanding, until your humility manifests. When you are nobody, you can do all this. Because you're no longer holding on to the ego. You have this character which is very strong in you. You very fast you react to things that you are not happy on. That's why they can sense your aggressiveness. So that one, you have to be mindful of it. Then you have to develop the understanding to reverse it. That's why cultivation involves observation, where you observe yourself, when you listen to people's feedback, then you pick it up. You pick it up. Like in this case, you sense it, but then people give you the feedback. And the feedback come to you, it become like very clear to you. So these are good condition for you to actually develop the understanding so that in future when you do repentance, you develop humility, you develop understanding, you develop the remorse to really ask for forgiveness. And finally, you will have a lot of gratitude towards or who have helped you, or who has willingly like forgiven you, accepted your repentance, then there is a lot of joy. That face will also surface.
Yeah, Brother Teo, I suddenly thought of this. I'm like, what you say? I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we apologize to people. We have anger. Yeah. Actually, it's not from the bottom of the heart. When we say sorry, we are very angry.
Yeah, you're holding on to that negativity without you realizing it. That's why you need mindfulness to be sensitive. When you are mindful with the Dhamma, you are very sensitive. Sensitive in the sense that you do with understanding. Everything you do is with sincerity, with understanding. It's no more negativity. That's why mindfulness allows you to see, awaken to it. Then you develop humility, you develop love, you develop understanding, gratitude. Gratitude is very important. Gratitude towards nature, towards all beings.
Brother, like my situations like that repentance also will come one. Other than I was aware, brother, actually that moment I was aware, but the energy is towards that direction. Even on the spot, I also what we are being, I asked myself, why when while reading, I can still think, right? I was thinking, angry.
That's why you were sensitive. Like you mentioned, when you are in the middle, you got anger surfacing. But at least now you're aware. Then you contemplate, you reflect, then you receive the feedback, you change. That's how you progress as you develop all this. Then this one take time, because your whatever coming obstruction or what, you need to actually completely root it out for you to move. So this understanding is very useful. Very good. You mean every day they got a schedule for you or what? Which video to attend, or you have a choice?
Yeah, sorry. Brother, they have a schedule like 5:30 or what? They wake you up, then they bring you 6 o'clock. You go for the exercise. I don't like the exercise, so I go with the exercise. Like you keep on laughing, you know, laughing from deeper part of your body. That type of the type of exercise.
You
laugh,
you know, video you that you see, you got no choice on only that one, that session.
Oh, video
or you
no
got
choice,
other videos at the same time, they show a few videos.
No. No, brother, because the student is only about 20 plus. Everybody sit
there. So it's the same video. You go through the same schedule.
Yes, they go through the same video.
They have somebody to explain the video or summarize to you?
No.
Oh, they just leave it to you.
The video is the people, the China people, like they are having conference or the teacher is teaching student live
just
in China. They record it. They record it and they let us see.
They let you listen again, view and listen again.
Yes.
Okay.
Then we come to know those teachers who is teaching in China. They also 100% voluntary work and they run here and there. The whole China,
Wow, very good.
They are very committed until they, of course, some of them, luckily, they are financially sound, you know, they have business. And their course is always 7 days. They go east, west, everything. After this course, go back home. Sometimes not even got a chance to sleep. They go to the train, going to another part of China already.
Yeah, I mean, they are actually committed to this belief that they benefited from a lot of all these things. So now they're willing to contribute back. That's why when you go through the cultivation, when you have the understanding, you want to give back to society, humanity. Nature, the time come is for me to give back, to share. Early on, I receive, I attend and receive and I participated. Then when it's the time for me, my turn, that's why I was requested to come out to share. Then the message came and my nature willingly fulfilled. Then you will go and do your whatever work. That's why they are more, more diligent. Means they go all out and all those things. It's up to the individual. Different people has different understanding and approach to cultivation and sharing. So what you saw on is a new phenomenon in China. If that is going on, then it's very good for the society in China. Means China will become beautiful. A lot of all this video feedback sharing can make people understand better and give rise to more understanding to help society give rise to this type of motivational video to actually bring people to another level of understanding. So that they can also share that understanding with others. And at the same time, they go into the cultivation. Yeah? Like what you mentioned, they are very useful and beneficial to most people who listen to it. Then you can decide to go into it too. Then later on, when you become successful or become one of the beneficiary of all this, then you will have this understanding that you also want to help contribute your contribution back to help others. So all this will continue to move. Oh, good. I heard about this. Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
All the teachers are those who benefited from the
Definitely. Otherwise, they wouldn't go and do all this type of things.
Some of them, their relationship with the husband. Some of them, you hear, they normally actually brought you, other than they go deeper and teach, they also use their example in their own life to teach you, know?
Yeah.
Like the one lady teacher, the husband last night, that's our relationship, a husband, aggressive and want to kill the wife or all this type of story. Very touching. So they are laboratory, going teaching everywhere, rain and shine. Also they go. You really very salute them, and they don't know what is tiredness, you know. Wow, they do it with enthusiasm, you know.
The energy is there because the nature is right there, manifest.
Yeah, brother, too, they even give out money to sponsor the cause. They sponsor their own transport.
That's what they do,
That. And I think one of the person who shared is a young lady at the age of 25, 26, and I think maybe now slightly more. She got those skin disease that because of she have all the hatred towards the mother and the father, eventually, you know, she shared, they share their life story. Then they talk about abortion before the marriage. They touch about all this daily life stuff. So in China, you can see when they have the conference, the people who come also a lot. That's why they also have this relative on very superficial level where you, like Siji also doing, they wash the feet of the parents, you know.
That's ceremony.
They actually teach about filial piety, which is, they say filial piety got four levels. I only able to grab two. The other two, I also don't grab it well. First is you help your parents to have a very healthy body, right? And you also have to help your father, mother to be happy, you know. The very easy example, they say, let's say you buy food or you give money to your parents, right? You are capable of doing that. And your parent, instead of using the money for them own, they go and give the money to your sibling, which is to you, the sibling is useless. Many people will feel very angry, but they tell you that one is you do your part. Your parents happily use the money, no matter how they use it, is none of your business. So that is
that is the understanding because filial piety is with the individual. As long as you have done your part, that's it, finish. Otherwise, you keep on. How can I give money to my parent? My parent can give to the sibling that is useless, and then your thought become negative. That's why I always say they are lying. Let them decide, let them leave. Once you have given, that's it, finish. After that, what people do, not important. Why do you want to know? You give based on your understanding. That one more important. Sadhu, very good. Oh, almost 6 o'clock already. Okay. Anything else you can sum up, Chipolin?
I think that's what basically I want to share. And people highlight to me, I also discovered after the repayment, they told me that my face become brighter. So I go to the mirror and see. Before the few days, I know my face is the skin tone is a bit dark. Then when after the repayment, they tell me this, I go and go to the mirror and say, yeah, it's true. My face skin tone become
radiant.
Brighter.
Radiant already, brighter.
Yes.
Already,
So I think that is the effect of the power of the repentance.
Because of the joy. When you have joy, your face become radiant.
So I'm very thankful for this stuff because, bro, I trying to use different angle to see how I can improve.
No harm. That's why you are free to move. You are free to join. Then you widen your circle. Then after that, when you find beneficial, you share. Other people also get to know. This is what sharing is all about. Sadhu.
It's good to know China is doing great effort.
This was I heard about it. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Okay, let's rejoice with all the good sharing today by Sui and Chipolin. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then now we will share merit, transfer merits. Then we will have our closing puja as usual. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya. idang me nya ti nang ho tu suhita hon tu nya tayo idang me nya ti nang ho tu suhita hon tu nya tayo idang me nya ti nang ho tu suhita hon tu nya tayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, yeah, okay, now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and the Bodhisattva and the worthy one. Then we shall end the whole session. Thank you for your participation, sadhu.